medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshall, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, what's new this week?
Oh, we're finally back to the traditional question. Hey, what's happening now? As usual, I'm not prepared. I don't know. Let me think about it. We released more software. .1 of release 26 came out this last week, and then the applications update. So update UN26 is now hit the streets. Yay for us. Yay for UN26. And I know that means like we went from UN9 to UN26, and that's a big jump. But as you may have recalled, we're trying to align everything. This is release 26. So it's tools 9.2.26. And of course, it's UN26. So everything's aligned so we don't have to do math in our heads to figure out that 9.2.9 was actually release 25. So if you're on 9.2.5, like some were, that I recall, you're 4 years behind, meaning that you were actually on potentially release. Oh yeah, we didn't have release 22 at the time. It was actually would have been 21 if I do the math correctly. And yeah, well, we hadn't named things differently then. So anyway, we came out with new software today. Woohoo!
So the 26.1, is that just enhancements already? Is it?
No, the .1's more of a, it's the first maintenance pack. Off of this. There's no enhancements jammed right in right after the GA of the .0. It's just more hardening, if you will, of what's out there after first blush and first release and first feedback. You know, we try to respond as quickly as possible. You put some new stuff out there, you got to get the feedback, got to get it improved as quickly as you can.
Awesome. Very cool. So glad that you're able to turn that stuff around so quick and excited for the applications update. What's in the applications update?
The same stuff that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
You didn't sneak anything else in there?
No, despite everybody's desire. I mean, yeah, that is one of the fun things that happens is people see windows of opportunity and they just, oh, let's put more in it. It's like, how about we just get what we have stable and solid and put that out the door. And not that I want to delay goodness, general goodness to the population, but at the same time, you don't want to prematurely sneak things out of the oven and, you know, throw them out there. We all like our chewy cookies, I suppose, but you know.
But you don't want your cake to like fall, collapse because it wasn't fully baked in the middle.
Yeah. Or you don't want to ruin the cake by trying to get too creative with some of the icing or something like that, that you rush and you take what otherwise would have been a very nice birthday cake and you wreck it trying to get too clever or something like that. But no. So, you know, we got a few things from some updates on Brazil tax reform to, I think, a two-way voucher. You know, there's some held orders, some changes to the RMA process that you're allowed to do as well. There's a few things. I haven't fully memorized it. I apologize to those out there. I mean, I know I should have my entire release completely memorized on everything that we do. But to be honest, now we're looking at what's next. And a lot of that's already in motion. And as we always are, we're in this continuous planning cycle of 12 to 18 months trying to figure out what we're going to do and what's going to make the most impact. We've talked about it in the past that we've got our sustainability framework. What are we looking to deliver in that in the next 12 months as it relates to like scope 2 emissions? We're looking at enterprise automation. We've gotten some recent feedback as we've gotten some early adopter customers kind of kicking the tires on that. And we're taking that feedback to heart. And, you know, there are still some big things that we need to do with enterprise automation to really flush out the full capabilities of it. But even as we do that, we can refine and tweak and address some of, you know, we can make it more usable. We can make it more intuitive. We're always trying to improve, right? Even on that small level. So we're not just going after big chunks and stuff like that. We want to polish as we go. And then, of course, AI. One of the big things that we're doing these days is, you know, it's not just AI enablement for our JD Edwards customer base. We're looking at it internally. What can we do with these tools? What do they really enable? And I'm very excited by what we're finding because I believe it will translate to stuff that we can help customers with and enable for customers. Because I think through our own utilization and adaptation of these capabilities, we're going to get some insights into where to open some doors and really empower customers to leverage this stuff with the product. So that gets me all sorts of excited because I love to build and I love to create. And this is a fun time. For as challenging a time as it can be, it's also extremely exciting. We've got capabilities that we just never knew was possible. I mean, I can't go into the details, but I talked to one of my engineers today, and he's been around over 25 years working on this product. And he's talking like I swear he was a 20-year-old today, just bouncing off the walls, so excited about what he was doing and what he had just found. Ended up being like an internal issue. Again, I won't go into details that caused this, but at the end of the day, he was able to respond. And he goes, 2 years ago, if I would have ran into the same problem, it probably would have taken 4 to 6 weeks for me to knock this out. I would have derailed roadmap. I would have derailed whatever it was that I was working on to go do this thing. And instead, with the tools that I now have available to me, I was able to knock it out in like a couple days, like 4 to 5 hours or 4 to 6 hours spread out over a couple days. And all of a sudden it's like, as we all look for these productivity gains, you know, we think, hey, we're going to be able to do something faster. But in some cases, it's the disruption that didn't happen that you never saw, like that could have been, that never happens. That is your savings. And you know, you turn around, it's like, how are you going to quantify that, right? How are you going to track that and be able to turn to your leadership and say, it's working, because on the surface, everything got delivered the way it was supposed to get delivered. What they don't know is there was no chance in hell that that was supposed to be delivered on time as a result of the rest of this stuff, right? So anyway, right. I digress. Sorry, you asked me what's going on. Obviously, I'm a little excited about what's going on. So what's happening with you?
I was going to say you sound as about excited as the engineer you were describing. So
true
story. Sound like a 20-year-old bouncing up the walls.
No offense to the 20-year-olds out there. Just
none.
High energy.
We like it.
We love it.
What's new with me? Not a lot. Just learning the new job, learning the ropes and trying to absorb everything I can. So it's been fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying learning new things, learning how processes work here versus other places I've worked. I enjoy that, though. I like to see how other businesses do things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's fun.
I mean, learning's fun, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what this podcast arguably is all about, right? Is how
exactly.
do we help folks learn. So yeah, I think that's why you hear that I'm excited and I think my team is excited. It's because they're learning. Things are new and they're fresh and they're exciting. And hence why we refer to the 20-year-olds because, hey, guess what? They're coming out of school. They're starting a new job. Oh, it's all exciting again, right? I guess that's the reference. That can happen many times in your career, as you just pointed out. You're excited right now, too.
Exactly. Exactly. It's refreshing. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Kind of gives you a little boost of energy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, beyond all that, what did you want to talk about today?
Today, I actually want to kind of key in a little bit more on the enterprise automation. You and I had some discussions this week, or was it last week? I don't know. They all run together sometimes. Where
they're so memorable that they're all just one big blur. That's
you're welcome. But where I think I was struggling a little was the process modeler.
Okay.
And how to get it adopted. Because I feel like in some cases, I already know where the bottlenecks are.
Okay.
You know, there's been times where, okay, we know this approval sits here forever. Okay, so that's clearly a bottleneck. But it doesn't really necessarily highlight the why.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I think a challenge that we can say for all of us is adoption in general, right? Adopting what we put out. I look at, you know, we put out 1,000 enhancements in the last 10 years. And how do we motivate, encourage, enable folks to adopt what we're putting out the door? We talk about the cumulative value, right? Because maybe we're not doing the big massive enhancements anymore and building a whole new module or whatnot, but we're continuing to just chip away and improve over time, and the value continues to increase. And it's a challenge sometimes to articulate that, let alone get folks bought in to be able to adopt it. So I think adoption in general gets to be a bit of a challenge. And with enterprise automation and the process modeler, as you said, so as you and I were talking, and I actually talked to my team a little bit this week too, it's who is it going to help, right? So in your particular case, you're looking at it saying, all right, great. It models out a process that we've already defined.
Yeah, we probably have it in a Visio diagram somewhere.
Yeah, probably do. But at least this, this we know is true now. We know that this is coming out of the system, right? It's native. It's really, truly how it was defined in the system, not how we decided to draw it based on how we thought we had things crafted, mind you, which is
true.
Hey, guess what? We put E1 pages out there flowing out these processes as well, but they don't match any of your processes because, hey, guess what? You didn't define them that way, right? So you run the same risk when you try to manually do this. So this is, you know, it auto generates out of the system, which I think adds value in and of itself as, hey, how do we actually have this stuff configured? That's fine. But then it tries to highlight bottlenecks. I mean, what was the point behind it? We were getting a lot of questions about where do I use Orchestrator? Like, Orchestrator is this really cool thing, and you've spent all this time telling us all the new capabilities that you keep on adding to it. And sure, we've got hundreds of use cases out there from customers on where they used it. But what you're not doing in your product is giving us a clue as to where we should use it. So you're expecting us to look at these other customer use cases and go, oh, that might apply to us, which is fine. I mean, no doubt that's,
oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody
it's
wants
a great
to
way
relate.
To learn.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be better if we mapped out your processes and showed you your bottlenecks and said, here's where you should go look to apply Orchestrator? That was kind of the goal. Arguably, that evolves now because there's other tools. It really isn't restricted to Orchestrator. It's here's where you should go look to see if you can make an improvement. Now, we've released cumulative value that I was talking about in the applications. There may be application enhancements that could help right there. There could be orchestration capabilities. There could be extensibility capabilities. Who knows what it is? There could be AI. Hey, Mavis, you're looking for AI use cases. Everybody out there wants to know, where should I use AI? Well, why don't you map out your processes, see where your inefficiencies are today, and go see if AI can help you. I don't know. But I think, to your point, just pointing out where it's slow or where it's inefficient, you probably have instincts and knowledge that tell you, yeah, you kind of already suspected that, right? You already heard about that. Okay, so you're not telling me anything I didn't already know, although maybe we at least illustrate it for you. So now you can say, see, I knew that. Now I got evidence. It's right there
in
front of my face.
Proof.
I got proof. So maybe it helps in that way. But that's just step one. That's the modeling. Step one and two. One is ingest. You got your data. Two is model it out. Okay. Three, overlay the metrics so that you can analyze it and identify those bottlenecks. But what you need to then be able to do is actually drill in. And so when you ask the question, you know, it's like, hey, you're already telling me what I already know. Why does that matter to me? It's like, well, I think what you're telling me is unless it can take you to that next level, which means don't only highlight the opportunity for me, but give me the information I need to be able to drill in to understand the true root cause so I can figure out how to fix it, right?
Yep.
You know,
that's absolutely the case.
And that is that, I would say that analyze / solve step is get to root cause, identify a solution. And by solution, sometimes it's corrective, which may be short term, and other times it's preventative. Great. We stopped it, or we intervened and we, you know, got rid of the roadblock for now. We got the approvals flowing. Now, how do we not get log jammed again? So there's multiple dynamics there, but the vision behind enterprise automation and the process modeler is to get you to that level. It's not just to give you the superficial over the top. Here's your process. Here's where it's slow. Now you're on your own. No, it should
figure it out.
Yeah. Go figure it out. But, you know, it's going to take us time, obviously, to get there, right? And the types of problems that you run into along that process may require access to different data. It may not just be the data that produce the metric that is bad, we may need to start to connect dots that says, look, these are the types of things that impact, influence the performance at that step. So we need to provide you that insight as well. Right. And so there's room for evolution.
Well, and I see this as really, like, from my perspective, I really need to partner with my business on this.
Mm.
Because they're the ones, too, that may have solution ideas or have a little bit more insight into some of the bottlenecks as well that mm-hmm. I may not understand. Maybe yes. we've got a supplier that's problematic and they're going to know that. I'm going to see the issue through the process modeler that there's a bottleneck here. Okay, but why? You know, I can dig into some of the data, but I may not see that right away, but they may know that. So I think highlighting what it can do for us, but also for the business.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content, publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Would you say it could be, looking at it from your perspective, does it turn into a potential conversation starter? Because when I think about adoption, I'm like, who should be adopting this?
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
And if you're going to build a modeler that is going to help you evaluate an end-to-end process like that, you're probably going up the chain, right? Somebody manages mm-hmm. that entire process, is responsible for it, wants that visibility. That's who you're really trying to, quote unquote, sell this to, right? That's who you want to advocate its adoption. But those likely aren't the individuals that come to our conferences. Those likely aren't the individuals that see some of this stuff, right? So the IT department, the business analysts, the systems analysts, maybe even some of the developers, they see this. Can they use a tool like this? And maybe they should be looking at a tool like this as, okay, this is a way for me to engage the business, to help the business potentially understand where their opportunities lie, not to tell them something that they don't already know, but for me to say, look, when I look at it, I see an opportunity here. What do you know about this? Right. And to partner with them to get their insight.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I think that is one area that partnering with the business is very important from my perspective, right? Especially because I need to know what their challenges are. If I don't know where their struggles are, because maybe I don't use the software the same way that they do, I fast path around everywhere. They don't get to do that, right? They have to drill through the menus or go through the pages, right?
Yeah,
which may not be convenient for them. So unless I'm doing a lot of day in the life of and spending time with my business, I don't know necessarily all of their challenges. Can I throw out ideas based upon what I know? Absolutely. But they ultimately really know what's going on. And for me to get in and have those discussions and be able to really partner with them and become that trusted IT representative, I don't know what
well,
we're gonna call it.
Advisor.
Yeah, trusted advisor. So that they are excited about what's out there and asking me, I know you went to the last conference. What did you learn? What are things that we might want to adopt in the business? Because I feel like sometimes that lacks. We take the information back and maybe we disseminate it with our IT department to bring other BAs up to speed, to bring other developers and CNC. Here's what we learned. But we don't necessarily go that next step and engage with the business to be like, hey, by the way, I saw this really cool thing that I think you're going to love. I think we've started a little bit more, we as a IT group, I don't mean just at my company, I mean as BAs more broadly, where when we come to these conferences and we learn maybe what other people have done, we sometimes then can go back to our business and be like, hey, I saw this really cool thing and I think it would really help you. I go back to even the basics of, OK, Cafe Ones, right? And be like, hey, I can prevent you from having to take a row exit from customer ledger inquiry into the receipt detail. You know, yeah. I can just display that on one screen for you. Just little things like that. But it probably took a while. You delivered this great stuff. And then it was like, well, now how do I use it?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've been trying to crack this for years, right? When you look at it, your business can't ask you for what it doesn't know exists. Right. I mean, they can't ask you for, can I just do this? I mean, sometimes I do. It's like, can I do this? And maybe you know, and that's great. But many times they're just not going to come up and say, you know, if you could just automate this step with Orchestrator for us, we'd be great. They're not going to do that. Right. So you've got to find a way to introduce it to them and get them familiar. We talk about the fact that we put stuff out, we try to raise awareness, and we try to provide some level of not just value add, but how to, like, so yeah, I need to make sure you're aware of it, and I need you to know effectively how to use it. But that's, one would argue, that's as far as we can go. At that point, we need somebody else to carry it forward. I think where we struggle, and I think you've brought this up, so maybe I cue you a little bit on this, is there's got to be a level of empowerment within the organizations themselves for folks in your position and like you, the system analysts, the business analysts, even the developers, if you will, to familiarize yourselves with these tools and their values, and then bring it to the business to expose them, not to tell them necessarily to cram it down their throat, but to make them aware of what the system that they currently are using is capable of doing, so that you can work together to make their lives better. And then they will ask for more of that. But if you're not empowered to go explore that, you're not empowered to go learn it, or you can go learn it and hear about it, but the business isn't interested in hearing about it, where does it go?
Nowhere. Or maybe I use it for myself. I don't know.
Right.
Right.
But you need time, right? You need time to explore these tools. It's not like we give you enough information at a conference or even in any sort of webinar that, oh, I'm an expert now. You know, I spent 30 minutes listening to AJ and I feel like I'm an expert. Sorry, probably, you know, listening to AJ for 30 minutes is really fun, but it probably isn't going to make you an expert on widgets quite yet.
Not quite yet. Close. No, and that's where, truthfully, sometimes, whether it's coming to conferences and seeing how others have adopted something, or even the various vendor partners that offer training to kind of teach you and give you the basics, you don't necessarily come out an expert, but you come out at least knowing better how to use it. And then it's up to you to kind of determine within your business what are the good use cases for it, right?
Yeah.
Or even the vendors that don't necessarily offer training, but they do similar to other customers where they've adopted things. They play around in their labs and they figure out how to do it. And then they share that information as well, whether you consult with them or maybe they partner with another customer and have a presentation at the conference. So,
yeah. I mean, that is the benefit of, you know, having such a strong and vibrant ecosystem as we do, is we've got these vendors out there that, you know, they do invest the time and energy to understand some of these capabilities at another level so that they can go advise customers on where to apply them and what to look for. And so that is a benefit, you know.
Absolutely.
I know that you yourself and others like you, you want the freedom and the empowerment to go, the autonomy to go learn it yourself as well, so you can bring that value to the business.
I want to go tinker with it. I want to go get my mitts on it, I always say. Yeah. I want to go get my mitts on that and try playing with it, see what I can do with it. So,
but my ask, though, when you brought up enterprise automation, it's like, yeah, so you're going to identify, you're going to highlight where we're already slow, and I already know that. Give it a little bit more. Like, don't write it off so fast as, yeah, I already know that. We've got to go to the next level with these things and help them evolve to that next level. Because you may know the obvious things that are wrong because you hear about them, but you never know. It could very well highlight some stuff that you didn't see, the business didn't see, who knows? And that's kind of our hope. That's why we call it blind spots. It's not just highlighting the bottlenecks that maybe you heard about every once in a while, and now you can actually illustrate with this model, but it's supposed to highlight your blind spots as well. Maybe those things that you didn't hear about, didn't know about, wasn't quite aware. But regardless of what it does, as far as highlighting those things, it's got to enable you to get to that next level. Otherwise, all we're doing is, I don't know, upsetting you. Like, guess what? You're really slow over here. Okay, why? I don't know.
I don't know. You figure it out. No, we'll you figure it out.
Yeah. And then we just lead you over there. We say, yeah, whatever. We have no idea. Go figure it out yourself. And when you do, let us know. But
yeah. Well, thank you for shedding a little bit of extra light on it. And hopefully this also helps our listeners for being able to understand what you might need to do in order to get that adoption, where we might actually have to partner more with our business. It's not necessarily IT driving a change per se. It's, hey, let's really partner with the business and work with them, work alongside them, and make their lives better, hopefully, and maybe even make our own better, because maybe it results in less support calls for certain things.
Well, absolutely. And I think the other point there is ask your leadership for the room, the time,
yes,
to explore some of these things. They take time to find out. We delivered sales order entry so you could enter sales orders, and everybody went, hey, I do that. I get that. I can use that. But when we deliver tools like this for automation, it's not as intuitive, right? It
Correct.
Is a tool that
yes.
you have to go use. And we can advise you and help you understand where to use it, when to use it. But you've got to familiarize yourself still with the tool and how it works so that you can go partner with the business and help them understand what's possible. But none of that happens if you don't get yourself familiar with these capabilities. So go ask for that permission, so to speak, and go fight for that time that it takes to go do that exploration.
Yeah, it does take time for sure. But in the end, it saves time.
Yes.
And that's what we really need to highlight, you know. And I think once you get a couple of things in there, yeah, then leadership starts to see it and they'll accept that. But I know in organizations, multiple organizations that I've worked in, we're so busy, whether it's troubleshooting or, oh, we're implementing this, so we need the resources for that. We don't have the time. It's not a priority. And leadership doesn't understand the value that can come from it. Even if they come to the conferences, they sometimes still don't necessarily understand the value from it. Because again, it is a little bit more, it's harder to articulate.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. All right. So did we identify a Midwesternism this week? I know we've started on. We did? Oh, great. I'm still a little bit full from our last one.
Yes. You're still full from green bean casserole you had.
I am.
Servings.
I am. I tell you what, you'd be surprised how long you can survive on that one staple.
Well, this other one is, I'm guessing, another one that you probably really would like.
Okay.
I've heard it referred to as funeral potatoes or cheesy potatoes.
Ooh.
Yeah, cheesy potatoes, right? I mean, you were born in Wisconsin, so
anything
with cheese in it. Yeah, exactly. Anything with the word cheese in it and you're in. So funeral potatoes, it's a potato-based hot dish. You know, I'm from the Midwest. It's a hot dish. But the things that people think of, I don't know how you would have thought of this ever to combine these things, but whatever. So it's a creamy, cheesy potato hot dish that obviously was served at funeral gatherings, but then expanded into like potlucks, family events, i.e., you know, your Thanksgivings, your Christmases in the Midwest. But it's primarily made with hash browns or cubed potatoes, but a lot of times it's hash browns, sour cream, cheese.
Yay.
And a cream of chicken or mushroom soup.
Mushroom. Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
But it's typically topped with a very crunchy layer of cornflakes or potato chips or breadcrumbs that you mix together with butter, of course, because, you know, who doesn't want to have...
Well, you could have stopped at cornflakes. I mean, come on. If it's not cornflakes, you're trying to get too fancy. I'm just going to let you know right now. You just go kick the box of cornflakes.
Sprinkle
you just
those.
Sprinkle it on top and you're fine.
With a little butter. You're good.
You cube up your potatoes. You get the sour cream, you get the cream of mushroom, you put on the cheese, you sprinkle over the cornflakes, you stick that sucker in the oven, let it warm up.
Yep, at 350.
At 350.
That's what
oh,
you
yes.
Make everything out in the Midwest.
Oh,
I think.
No, wow. All right, so that might be my second favorite dish at Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.
Did you ever have it where they added like ham or bacon in it?
I don't think I have, but I could see ham. Ooh. Ooh.
Uh-huh. That is Ooh. Pretty good. Ooh. Ooh. We know what Paul's making for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Cheesy potatoes.
Once again, I'm feeling full already.
Now, you know, if you want to make it healthy, you can incorporate like
no.
Broccoli or peas.
No.
That I've seen done too, actually.
No. Negative.
Yeah, no. That, negative.
Get that green
get
stuff out
of
here.
Get those vegetables out of here.
Exactly. No, thanks.
They do not belong.
Oh, fine. No. This is definitely, I mean, I don't understand why we didn't talk about this before the marathon, because this is fuel. This is absolute fuel, baby.
I don't know about fuel, but.
Carbs?
Yeah.
Come on.
Carbs, fat.
Yes.
The whole nine yards.
The whole
yes.
nine yards. This is great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.